When we learned brachas on Daf Chaf, Chaf Aleph, we learned there was a machlokes amaroyim where the Kriya Shema as in Bitzum and Atorah Midrabban. So we learned the first Taisis and brachas seems to assume that Kriya Shema is lav deraisa. We said Rabbi Kivega points out, and the Taisis here also Amid Beis Amid Aleph assumes that Kriya Shema is lav deraisa. So there's a long Taisis on Amid Beis, Amid Beis Amid Beis that the Shagasari points out also. Taisus assumes throughout, they quote the Gemara Daf Chaf Aleph and Brachas. Taisus assumes throughout that Kriya Shema is lav deraisa, and they're bothered with a lot of kashas. Sometimes the Gemara will make an asmachta. It's really a din midrabanan, and they quote a pasuk as if the pasuk is referring to this din midrabanan. They know that it's only an asmachta. That's a question, what was the purpose of making an asmachta? Is it just to serve as a mnemonic device to remember the din? So every time you hear the Kriya HaTorah, that din derabbanan will come to mind? Or perhaps they felt that was really the author's intention. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, he had an open intention and he had a hidden meaning. There are books written by non-Jewish authors where there's more than one level of meaning that the author intended. So that's a ritva, and Rosh Hashanah has like that. That the Gemara will often make an asmachta. He says, we have a tradition from our Rabbein, that's a tradition from the basement Rosh Hashanah Ramban, that an asmachta is not only just to serve as a mnemonic device, this is really the author's intention. The Rabban Shalom really had this in mind. Some Achrayim distinguished, and it depends whether the Gemara calls it asmachta or asmachta bi'alma. If the Gemara will say asmachta bi'alma, it means it's only to serve as a zichron dvar mi'alma. But if the Gemara calls it asmachta, then it's a more serious than the Rabbanan. Really means that this was the author's intention. Beis HaLevi draws such a distinction also, without quoting the Prim Gadol, makes such a distinction between asmachta and asmachta bi'alma. And the Beis HaLevi makes the same distinction without quoting the Prim Gadol. He says it on his own, that you don't always say Safik Darabon Lakula. If you have a Din Darabonan that has an Asmachta, so that means that was really the intention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way. So sometimes we say on Dinim Darabonan, since this was the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to say Safik Darabon Lachumr. Anyway, so here Tosfos is bothered with the Kasha. They assume throughout that Kriya Shema is Lav Deraisa. So how can the Gemara have so many asmachtas and be so medayik? There's a machlokes b'sham and b'silo. How do you translate the words when you recite Kriya Shema in the morning? You have to be bikumecho, in a standing position. When you recite Kriya Shema at night in the middle of the night, you have to be in a reclining position. B'shach b'cho. Well, no, b'shach b'cho b'kumecho is the time, the zman Kriya Shema, but it's not the position that the person should be in. And then the Tanoim have a whole machlokes. How much of the Kriya Shema do you have to have Kavanas Pirush Amilus for? Is it enough the first Pasuk or the entire first Parsha or the first few Psukim? So the Tanoim all say, well, it says, Vayad Vayimael Alav Avech. Alav Avech means you have to have in mind the Pirush Amilus. And maybe it says Alav Avech after the first Pasuk. Maybe that itself is the second Pasuk. Maybe you have to. So Tay says, if the whole Kriya Shema is only the Rabbanu, what are they so medayik? How can it be that they're so medactic and, well, everything is only an asmachta? How can it be that they're so medactic? So Tosfos remains with the kasha. It would appear from all the Gemaras as if Kriya Shema is deraisa. So the Rama paskens Kriya Shema is deraisa, not like Tosfos. But the Shagasari quotes his Rabbeinu Yonah. That's what we had the first day we started brachas. Shagasari quotes a comment from the Rabbeinu Yonah, which is printed on the side of the Rif in brachas. That the machlekes for the Kriya Shema is deraisa, the Rabban, and everybody agrees that Kriya Shema is deraisa. The only machlekes is it required men out there to recite that parsha, or can you recite your favorite parsha? Maybe you can read the parsha of Shavua, but that you have to say something babokir ba'erev, that for sure. And the machlekes b'sham and b'sil, whether you have to be in a standing position or reclining position, yeah, that's a good machlekes. Whatever you're going to recite, yeah, you have to recite something. So half of the kashas of Tosfos will fall away once you say like the Rabbeinu Yonah. Some of the kashas of Tosfos will fall away. Anyway, this is the Tosfos that the Shagasari quotes. That the Tosfos from the beginning to the end assumes that Kriya Shema lav deraisa and nothing is deraisa. And they said, what do you mean nothing is deraisa? But it says in the Chumash, V'dibarta bom b'shach b'chav kumecha. So it's just a melitza. According to Tosfos, it's just a melitza. The whole institution of Kriya Shema saying anything is only with the Rabbanim. Just mean you should learn all day and all night. That's all. You should learn whenever you have a chance. You should learn. Okay? Then the Gemara had the machlokes Rebbe and the Chachamim whether Kriya Shema has to be recited in the original Hebrew. You have to recite Kriya Shema Kichsovim, either the parasha of Shema or some other parasha, whatever, but you have to recite Kichsovim. So the machlokes is it considered Kichsovim if you say it in translation? But even if you we pasken that, you are Yotze if you say it in translation against Rebbe. It's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and the Chachamim. It's interesting. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is the one who edited the Mishnais. And in the Mishnais, they pasken that Kriya Shema can be recited b'chol loshon. So the question is, but if Rebbe is the one who edited the Mishnais, why didn't he put in his own opinion? You have the same question in a lot of places in Mishnais. One of the examples is the opening Mishnah in Sanhedrin. The Mishnah says, Din Imamin is, when you have a Din Torah between two parties, so you have to have three rabbis to adjudicate the case. So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's opinion is you need five rabbis. So why didn't he mention his opinion in the Mishnah? All right, he's not going to push his opinion to say that's the Psak Halacha. He knows that he was outvoted by the individual. Why didn't he even mention his opinion in the Mishnah? So that's what the commentaries point out. That Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's opinion, Rebbe's opinion that you need a Bezna 5, is quoted by the Gemara in the beginning of Sanhedrin from a Tosefta. So if you look in the Tosefta printed in the back after the Rif, so in the commentaries on the bottom of the page, they quote from the Rishonim that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi knew that his opinion was totally rejected, so he didn't even mention it. Not only didn't he rig the Mishnayos, he had to be honest. He knew that he was outvoted by the other rabbis of his generation, and he didn't even mention it in the Mishnah because he knew that it was totally rejected. He was honest. He edited a Sefer Psak, and he left out his own opinions because he knew that he was outvoted. He himself followed his own opinion, but he was outvoted. So the Gemara here quotes this machlekes Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and the Chachamim, can one fulfill Kriya Shema if he recites it in translation? But even if you say we paskan that yes, he can fulfill in translation, but it has to be a literal translation. You can't just say we have to do a mitzvah mezuzah, and we have to do mitzvah l'shal yad, we have to do tefillin shal rosh, and you have to learn Torah. That's not a literal translation. You have to translate the psukim literally. There's even machlokes, how literal does it have to be? In Hebrew you say yelad tov. The adjective tov comes after the noun yelad. In English you would say he's a good boy. So let's say, we don't have a pasuk like that in Kriya Shema, but there are other psukim like that. If the pasuk would say yelad tov, so you're supposed to say boy good? You're supposed to, in English, you say the adjective first. So that's a machlokes acharein, Rabbi Kiveger and others. How literal does the literal translation have to be? The pashtus, it should be in correct English, whatever language you're speaking in, should be correct English. If in the language that you're speaking, you put the adjective before the noun, then that's called a literal translation. It doesn't mean literal, literal. Every word should be in the same order that appears in the room. But that's a machlokes. To what extent does it have to be literal? So Rebbe's opinion was not accepted. So the Gemara says here, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is of the opinion that he can only fulfill Kriya Shema in the original Hebrew, and he has a pasuk that implies like that, B'hoyu B'havayosam Yehu. And the Chachamim say one can fulfill Kriya Shema in translation, and they have a pasuk, Shema B'choloshen Shatu Shemeh. So the Gemara says, why does each one need a pasuk to say, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi needs a, what would one have said if there wouldn't be any pasuk one way or the other? That's called the Svara HaChitzayna. What would the Svara HaChitzayna have been? That you can fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas Parshios in translation, or that you can't. So that's the way we usually learn the topic that the Gemara calls on the top line, Alam Gimel Amen Aleph, Kola Tarkula Beloshna Kodesh Nemra, or Kola Tarkula Becholoshna Nemra. So what's the machlokes? When you learn Kriyas HaTorah, does it have to be Dafka in the original Hebrew, or can everybody, Tosfos says on the top of Alam Gimel, everybody agrees that Maimon HaSinai, the original Maimon HaSinai, was not an Egyptian. That's interesting. Everybody agrees that Maimon HaSinai was in Hebrew. The Jewish people knew how to speak Hebrew. Shalashid and Shemam Lushanim Albushim. All the years that they stayed in Egypt, they knew how to speak Hebrew. They maintained, they dressed like Jews, and they retained Jewish names. and they spoke Hebrew. That's the tradition that the Gemara has. So Maimon HaSinai Tosfos says everybody agrees. Anoch Hashem Elokecha was proclaimed in the original Hebrew. But the machlokes is, can you fulfill, in general, do you think you can fulfill Kriyas HaTorah in translations? That's what Tosfos asks in other Masechtos and Megillah and Abrachot. What do you mean Kriyas HaTorah? Kriyas HaTorah is a takana midrabbanan. There is no Kriyas HaTorah there, I see. So Tosfos could have said, we said last week, Tosfos could have said the Kriya on Hakel once every 7 years on Chol HaMoed Sukkos following Shnas HaShemitah, or the Kohen Gadol learns Kriyas HaTorah in Yom Kippur, the Gemara learns that from Sukkim. That's a din deraisa, and that's why the Mishnah has special dinim. That Hakel and the Kohen Gadol's Aliyah on Yom Kippur, the brachas have to be recited in the original Hebrew. All year long, if a person gets an Aliyah, he doesn't know how to say the bracha in Hebrew. He can recite the bracha in translation. But on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol gets the Kriyas HaTorah, when he learns the Kriyas HaTorah, and Hakel, when the Melech learns the Kriyas HaTorah and Hakel, not only does the Kriya have to be original Hebrew, the brachas have to be in the original Hebrew as well. It's a special Kriyas HaTorah deraisa. So Tosfos could have said that we're talking about Hakel, the Gemara's Machlokes, where the Kriyas HaTorah has to be Dafke in Hebrew or in translation. Could have said it goes on Hakel, it goes on the Kriya of Yom Kippur. So instead of saying that, they came up with the idea that Parsha Zohar is deraisa. Okay? That we spoke about. And then some of the Rishonim say that Parshas Parah is deraisa. The Vilna Gaon thinks that that's a misprint of what is Parshas Parah. Parshas Parah, they read a couple of weeks before Pesach to warn all the people that every Pesach is coming and everybody has to go to mikveh to become tohar. So any other tumah that a person has, he goes to the mikveh and he becomes tohar. But if a person is a tamei meis, he can't just jump into the mikveh 2 days before Pesach. You have to have paraduma water, and you have to sprinkle the water on the person's tummy on the third day, on the seventh day. So you have to announce a couple of weeks in advance that everybody should use paraduma water and to be able to be toggled in the mikveh after the hazal shlishi shvi. Otherwise, you won't be able to participate in Korban Pesach. So that's strange that Tosfos says that parshas paraderas. So we discussed that when we learned brachas. Here, Tosfos has a different interpretation. They quote Rabbeinu Hananel on the top line on Lam Gimel that the Gemara's question whether Kol HaTorah Kula B'Chalosh Nemra B'Losh Nakodesh Nemra is not a machloikis, can you fulfill? The Gemara is quoting that machloikis with respect to whether one can fulfill Kriyashma in translation or only in the original Hebrew. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi needs a pasuk to say that has to be dafka in the original Hebrew. Apparently, if not for the pasuk of B'Hayu, he would have said Svar Chitzon, it would have been that you can fulfill Kriyashma in translation. The Rabbanan need a pasuk to say Shema B'cholosh and Shavta Shameya to tell you that it's good in any language, and if not for the pasuk, they would have thought that it would have been good, it would only be good in Hebrew. So what's Machloikis about? So the Rabbeinu Hananel says Kol HaTorah Kula B'cholosh and Nemra B'losh Nakodesh Nemra goes on Ksiva Sefer Torah. Can you write a Sefer Torah in translation? So that's a machlokes hatanaim in a Mishnah, in the first perek in Megillah. So one opinion is that you can write a Sefer Torah in translation in any language, and the accepted opinion is, like the Tana Rabbi Gamliel, you can only write in the original Ksav Ashuris in the Hebrew, or in Ksav Yevonis, based on the pasuk Yavta Lekim Leyefes, Rabbi Shimon Megamliel. Shimon Megamliel says like that. Only, and the Rambam writes there in the commentary on Mishnayos that that's the old, fancy, elegant Greek language that we don't use anymore today, so there's no Greek. The Ksav Ashuris, the script of the Sefer Torah, is the same script we use today as we always use. But the Greek language has developed and it changed, and now we no longer have that Greek. See, the only way you can write a Sefer Torah is only in the original Hebrew. Can write in Greek translation. That's what the Rambam writes. In the 1500s, though, they used to learn in Constantinople, the minhag was the Mar Rabbi Yosef Taitat Tzak writes. He's the same time as Rabbi Yosef Kara. Maritatz, he writes that the minhag was in Constantinople, but he was the rabbi, that once a year, Mapta Yoyna, they used to read from Greek to demonstrate that that's the din. The Iker HaDin is that you can read from translation. I don't know what they had, the old elegant Greek, or they had whatever Greek they spoke at that time. I don't know, but that's what he writes. So Tosfos quotes this Perish Mechudash from the Rabbeinu Hanan. The question in the Gemara, whether Kol HaTorah Kol B'chol Loshon Nemra, means was it Nitan Lehikosev in any language? Or it's not Nitan Lehikosev in any language? If it was Nitan Lehikosev in any language, then it's self-understood that you can recite the Parsha Shema in any language. If the Torah is not Nitan Lehikosev, you have no right to write it in other languages, then Hasvar in a sentence, you can only fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema in the original Hebrew. You can't do it in translation. The other Gemara we started on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Then the Mishnah commented about Chalitza. When a man dies and has no children, his wife needs Chalitza if she wants to remarry. There is a big machlokes whether the mitzvah of Chalitza is only if she's interested in remarrying. Let's say she's 95 years old, she's not interested in remarrying. So more correct is that we assume it's a mitzvah to perform chalitza even if she's not interested in remarrying. Chalitza is a mitzvah. The Pischei Tshuva, the Beis Shmuel quotes the Machlokes in Eben Ezra, and the Pischei Tshuva quotes it, and Rabbi Isaac Harif has a tshuva in his sefer. And more correct is that the proper practice is one should perform chalitza even if the woman is not interested in remarrying. Yeah. So there's a machlekes hatanaim, how much of chalitza is ma'akev. First, the yavam has to take off the shoe from the right foot of the yavam. And then she spits on the floor, rikika, she spits in front of him. She doesn't spit on him, she spits in the floor in front of him. And then they have to recite psukim throughout. So there's a three-way machlekes hatanaim that's quoted in the Mishnah, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. One tan is of the opinion that everything is me'akev. The chalitza is certainly me'akev. It's called chalitza, the taking off of the shoe, and the rikika is me'akev, and the kriyas apsukim is me'akev. The Gemara just says in Sanhedrin, the seder is not me'akev. If you did it out of order, the seder is not me'akev. Let's say first you did the rikika, and then you did the chalitza, so we wouldn't even require lechatchila that you should repeat the rikika. He already did the rikika before the chalitza, so you leave it like that. Yeah. So we paskin that the rikika is not miyakev. We paskin the kriyas apsukim is not miyakev. But lachatchili do need the kriyas apsukim. So what happened, Abnei Nezer has a shaila about this, and once happened here in the yeshiva. The Bezna was doing a chalitza, and one of the Rabbanim had a very old copy of the Seder Chalitza Sefer, and the pages were already detached, and they fell on the floor. So when he picked them up, he put them back out of order. So he had them say the psukim out of order. He died by mistake. So the question is, we paskin the psukim are not miyakev, but l'chatchila, if they're still here, so have them say the psukim. So what happened was, kochi yosalish is supposed to be said by the Yivam at the end, after everything is all over. And man, Yibami, my brother-in-law doesn't want to marry me. That's what she says in the beginning. Man, Yibami, l'hokem shem yisol, lo yova yadmi, he says, lo chavatzi l'kachto. So first she says, man, Yibami, he says, lo chavatzi l'kachto. And after you do the chalitza and the rikike, then she says, kocha yosalish. So what happened was, they already said, kocha yosalish in the beginning. So should you say, the Abnenezer says, should you say the Seder is not miyaked if he did the rikike first? Then you do the chalitza. You don't even ask him lechatchila to repeat the rikik. Seder is not miyakev. So maybe the seder of the psukim is also not miyakev. So he thinks that that's not true. He thinks if he didn't say the psukim at all, it's not miyakev. But the people are still there, and by mistake they said kocha yosalish in the beginning. So would you tell him to repeat kocha yosalish lechatchila? Or he say since the seder is not miyakev, that's not miyakev either. So the Abnenezer thinks that that's not right. Just like a book has a prologue, then it has an epilogue. You have an introduction, then you have a conclusion. So he says, Me'en Yevami is the introduction, and Kochi Yosalish is the conclusion. So how can you say, I'd say, B'dieved, if you said the psukim that is supposed to be the conclusion, he said at the beginning. He thinks that even though they said already Kochi Yosalish, you should repeat it again afterwards. If they didn't repeat, the Kriyas HaPsukim is not Me'akev, Al-Chatchila. They should repeat it. Once that happened here in the yeshiva. At that time they weren't aware that there was a tshuvas avnei nezer on the shayin. So there's a three-way machlokes hatanaim. So one tana is of the opinion that everything is meyakev. We don't pasken like that. We pasken the psukim is not meyakev. Then there's a further machlokes is whether the rikika, the spitting on the floor, is meyakev. So one tana says, since it says kocha, the word kocha is mashma le'ikuva, everything is meyakev, but it says kocha yeyosel le'ish, only a maisa is meyakev. So the kriyas ha-psukim, we assume, is not meyakev, but the rikika is a maisa, so one tana holds the rikika is meyakev. We don't accept that opinion either. We paskin, the only thing that's me'akev is the chalitza, the taking off of the shoe. So if it's not me'akev, what he needed l'chatchila? So that Tosis writes in different places that l'chatchila b'di'eved, whenever you have a din in the Gemara, let's say you have a trefa pot that hasn't been used in the last 24 hours, then you cook some kosher food in it. So l'chatchila, you're not allowed to cook food, but b'di'eved, the food doesn't become kosher. So Tosfos says, l'chatchila not allowed to do it, but yeah, but it's okay. It's a dead giveaway that it's only made the Rabbanah. If it would be awesome in our Torah, so it should be awesome, but yeah, but also. L'chatchila should have written a get like this, but yeah, but it's good like that also. L'chatchila should be tovel in the mikvah like this, but yeah, but if you tovel like that, is also good. So if it's good, but yeah, but why isn't it good, l'chatchila? So Tosfos says, whenever you have such a din, l'chatchila be yevid, ruba de ruba, it's only a din de Rabbanan. Once in a while, it's a din de raisa, because that's a mitzvah. In mitzvahs, you have a mitzvah bishlei musa and a mitzvah shalo bishlei musa. But if it's not a mitzvah, it's only a matir, like eating kosher food. It's not a mitzvah. If you have a treif of pot, it'll make the food treif. So if the pot has not been used for treifas in the last 24 hours, and menater, it's muta to use the pot. It's only also lechatchila midi rabbana. But b'di'evit, it doesn't make treif. So that's what Tosfos says. Tosfos in the end of Nida says, chalitza is a mitzvah, v'haraya, that you have a lachatchila deraisa. If it would only be a matir, then it wouldn't make sense to have a lachatchila deraisa. So that's what Rabbi Zalchara brings the right from that Tosfos. The fact, the first tshuva in his tshuva sefer. So he says from the fact that Tosfos says a chalitza is a mitzvah, so you see that even if the woman is 95 years old and she's not interested in remarrying, it's still a mitzvah to do the chalitza. It's not really a hechrech. Everybody agrees that chalitza is a mitzvah. Harai, there's a lechatchila derai. So they argue, maybe the mitzvah only is if the woman is interested in remarrying, then there's a mitzvah to undergo chalitza. If she's not interested in remarrying, maybe there's no mitzvah. Still room for a machlokes. He thinks that the fact that it's a mitzvah means it's an absolute mitzvah, even if she's not interested in remarrying. Anyway, this is where the machlokes hatanoim is, where they're all three are me'akev. The chalitza and the rikika and the kriyas ha-psukim, and we paskin the kriyas ha-psukim is not me'akev. We paskin even the rikika is not me'akev. It's the whole thing is only lechatchila that it should be considered a mitzvah b'shlei musa, and b'di'evit only lechalitza is me'akev. We usually assume that in kochim there's a different, the midrash ha-torah and drashas b'hem are slightly different. B'negetu, number one, elam edem lamed min halamed. If you learn that din B from din A, then you cannot learn that din C from din B. The Gemara has a whole sugya at the beginning of Ezel Mekoyman, exactly which cases does this rule apply. Ein lemeidim lamin min alamin. Sometimes it does apply, sometimes it doesn't apply, but it's only in kochim. You see, the midrash ha-torah and the drashas b'hem are slightly different in the area of kochim. So there's a tesis in Zvachim Dav Dalev, where tesis assumes that Shin Olav HaKos of Liakiv is also only in kochim. That whenever you have a pasuk that says how to be makrib the karbonis, it's assumed that it's only lechatchila b'di'evit. It would be good, even if you didn't do it exactly the way it's described, unless the pasuk repeats it. If it's repeated, shein olav akosav, then it means that it's miyakim. So Tosfos assumes that requirement, shein olav akosav liyakiv, only applies to kochim. Just like you see that the midrash ha-torah and drashas b'hem are different, that ein lemeidim lamed min alamed b'kochim. So too, Shein Olav HaKos LeYakov is only a kochim. So several G'dali Achrayim disagree with the Tosfos. Unusual. Chazanish and others, Mishnah Achrayna, Mishnah is Negoyim, that's where the Chazanish is also in the Negoyim. They say it's not true. Shein Olav HaKos LeYakov is a din and kol haTorah kula. It's not only, it's by all mitzvahs. Whenever there's a mitzvah, and the Torah says the mitzvah should be fulfilled like this, you need A, B, and C. You need Chalitza, Rikika, and Kriya Sapsukim. You need all three. So then, but it's only lechatchila. So you need Shein Olav HaKos LeYakov if you want to say something is me'akev. So if that the chalitza is me'akev, that you don't need Shein Olav HaKos LeYakov. If you don't do the chalitza, it's ika chasim and asefa. That's the main thing. They call it chalitza, because chalitza is the essence. The rikika with the kriyas apsukim, that's an addition. So for that you would need shina lakosel yakov. But on the ika thing, let's say, a person's going to bring a mincha, he's going to bring less than an isar and solas. So the Chazanish says, you don't need a pasuk to say that it's not acceptable. That's the ABC. You have to have a minimum amount of flour to bring a korban mincha. You don't bring it, so you didn't get the first base. There's nothing to discuss. If you didn't mix the shemen, mincha b'lula b'shemen, b'lila is not miyakev. Kol ha'roila b'ila and b'ila miyakev. The b'lila is not miyakev. Okay. The additional details of the mitzvah are sometimes miyakev, sometimes not. But the ike part of the mitzvah that you don't need a pasuk to say. So the Chazanish quotes a proof from this gemara. The whole discussion, how much of the chalitza mitzvah is ma'akev, the whole discussion is based on the assumption that that you need shina lakasol yakev in kol ha'Torah kula, not just in karbonis. We know that the midrash turned to Rosh Hashem are different than karbonis, that everyone agrees. Because the gemara says with respect to but the klal of shina lakasol yakev, that's not, that's where they disagree with Tosfos. Tosfos thinks that Tosfos in Zvachim Davdavid writes, that's only a unique feature in Kochim, and the Achrayim think that that's not correct. They think that it applies in Kol HaTorah Kula, and the Chazanish proves it from this Gemara. Then the Gemara goes into a long discussion of the on Daf Lam Gimel on base goes for a few blood Gemara of the Hoirasho of the Brachas the Klolus and Hagrizim and Harevo. Okay, it's important to learn the Gemara, but not today. Okay, so then the Mishnah on Lamed Zayin on the base continues with the dinim that are relevant today, the dinim of the Sias Kapayim. So we spoke a little bit. I remember last week I mentioned from Rav Soloveitchik that he thought Rabbi Mordechai Tendler just put out volume 3 of his conversations with his grandfather, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Masoros Moshe, I think he calls it. So he quotes from Rav Moshe Feinstein also that all the Havoras are considered Loshna Kodesh. All the Kohanim Duchen, and they also have Bracha Shekereshani B'Kedusha Sushalar. And they pronounce Hebrew in a Galatiana pronunciation, they pronounce it in a Yekesha, they pronounce it in a Litvisha, they pronounce it in a Polish pronunciation, they pronounce it in a Sradish pronunciation. And Duchenin can only be recited in the original Hebrew. So whichever is the original Hebrew, the others can be called a translation. But how are the others saying a bracha? Only one is Yotze, the others. So it would appear that all the different Havaras are considered Loshna Kodesh. Okay, so he quotes the Igros Moshe in the footnotes, and he quotes that he had this conversation with his grandfather, then he gets to Duchening. So he says the same, that we assume. So he has, the issue that they brought up was that in a lot of the day schools in America, they teach the children in Ashke Sfard. Half is Sfardit, and half is Ashkenazit. So all the subs they make into a tough. But they don't change everything else. They don't change the rest of the pronunciation. So that's not any Havara. So that's what Mordechai Tendler quotes the name of his grandfather, Moshe Weinstein, that he said that they can't duchen like that. That's not Hebrew. Duchen has to be in the original Hebrew. You can consider it another language, but it's not the Hebrew language. That was never an accepted Havara. Maybe now became an accepted Havara. Maybe because the day schools in America, they taught everybody to pronounce the Suf as a Tuf, but they didn't change everything else. They didn't change all the other pronunciations to Sfaradit.
We'll say with all of these are wrong, and only the Temoni is right. So, I mean, it's much easier to say the other way, but
yes,
there's a very big, because it's been unadulterated. No,
yeah, they were not influenced by any outside factors. That is correct, yeah. So the Mishnah gives you the differences between Duchening and the Beis HaMikdash and Duchening Bigvulin, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yankov Emden wrote a commentary on the Torah in the Beis Yosef on Or HaChaim that's called Morek Tzia. Every 20 pages the Mishnah Berurah quotes something from the Sefer Morek Tzia. So here he quotes from Rabbi Yankov Emden and he disagrees. Rabbi Yankov Emden says that duchening is only deraisa in the Beis HaMikdash, at the conclusion of Hakrovas Karbonas Tzibur. So the Mishnah Berurah proves that it's not correct. He quotes Gemaras and Tanoim, Sifrei and Sifro, that it's not correct. The question is, he's wrong, but he's right. The Gemara on Lamed Ches Amid Aleph, and the Gemara later on Amid Beis. Gemara said Beferish, that Duchani is only at the conclusion of Hakrovas Karbonas Tzibur. So if you don't have a Beis Hamikdash, no one's Makrovani Karbonas, how could Duchani be Daraisa? So that's what we mentioned. The Keren Ora comes to explain the common sheet against Rabbi Yankiv Emden. Rabbi Soloveitchik said it over, he schmaltzed it up a little bit. So the Keren Ora says, the Gemara says, when the Chazan starts saying, Ritzei B'amcha Yisrael of Israel Osam, the Kohanim who want to Duchan have to start walking towards the Bima, towards the Duchan. Duchan is a platform. So usually they stand on a platform so people should be able to hear the brachas. They have to say the Yirecha Hashem Yishmerecha. They have to say it b'kol ram. What do you mean b'kol ram? They have to scream on top of the lungs. So the Mishnah Berurah says, no, you have to say loud enough that the people in the back of the shul, the audience should hear. If everybody's there in the front of the shul, there's nobody in the back of the shul, so there's no need to scream on top of your lungs. You have to say loud enough that everyone should hear. So the... there is a machlokes and achrayim regarding standing on a platform. Is that really me'akev? There are some Sephardish achrayim hold that the platform is me'akev. And most of the Ashkenazi poskim and most of the Sephardic poskim don't accept that opinion. It's not me'akev. So if you don't have enough room on the platform for all the Kohanim, so I remember once I was davening in Yeshiva called Torah, so there wasn't enough room for all the Kohanim to duchen on the steps in front of the Aron Kodesh. So first they let the Sephardim walk up. Because some of the Sephardim should poskim hold that the platform is ma'akev, duchen. And then, if there was a little more room, then a couple of Ashkenazim stood on the platform also. So we assume the platform is only, it's called duchening, the duchen is a platform that the voice should carry. But it's not that they didn't really require you have to stand on an elevated platform. But by the Kodesh Lamarabi, when they have a lot of people duchening, so they have... milk crates that they have to stand on. So they have a platform. They make a makeshift platform.
Some shuls they put a rug out, so it looks like a small Persian carpet. They put that out.
Yeah, I think that's just that it shouldn't be cold because they have to take off their shoes. Minatora, they don't have to take off their shoes. The Gemara said that's one of the 9 takanas of the chief rabbi, Rabbi Yechonon ben Zakkai. He made a takana that they have to take off their shoes. That one would have thought, the history book suggests, one would have thought because in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim couldn't wear shoes or socks. They had to go barefoot. So one would have thought that the Rabbi Yechonon ben Zakkai made a Zechel HaMikdash. He made a few takanas Zechel HaMikdash, but that's not the reason that the Gemara gives. The history book suggests like that. The Gemara gives a different reason, a strange reason. The Gemara says, if the Kohen will be wearing a shoe with shoelaces, his shoelaces may untie, and then he may be busy tying his shoelaces, and then he's going to miss his opportunity to duchen. And the people will think that they just discovered that he's not a kohen, that he's a cholo, he's a pasul kohen. So he made a takana that they should take off their shoes in advance, so this issue won't come up. Sounds like a funny explanation. The reason that the history books give sounds better, but that's the reason I think Gemara gives. Gemara says because of the shoelaces. So the question is, what if you want to wear sneakers with shoelaces? So that's a machlokes achrayim. So here in Breuer is their makeup. The Kohanim, they insist you should really put on slippers or you should put on sneakers that will cover that tzibur. But you're going to go up with your smelly feet and everyone's going to smell your perspiration from your feet. So they insist everybody should wear slippers or sneakers. So some of them wear sneakers with shoelaces. So some of the poskim say that takana, the reason for the takana was because of the shoelaces that they untie, then the kohen's going to be so busy tying it, he won't be able to duchen it. People would think that he was just discovered that he's pasul. But the takana was that you shouldn't wear a shoe. So if it's not a shoe for Yom Kippur purposes, it's not a shoe for Tisha B'Av purposes, not a shoe for sitting shiva, it's not called a sandal, nilas a sandal. So it's not a shoe for duchening either, so you can even wear sneakers with laces. The other achrayim say, no, you shouldn't wear with laces. You can wear slippers, okay? But you shouldn't wear anything with laces. That's a machlokes. Anyway, so here the Gemara is going to quote a lot of the dinim of Duchenin. So the Gemara says Duchenin has to be in connection with at the conclusion of Akrobus Karbanus Sibus. Rav Yaakovem, that is Dachrai. How can it be the Raisa if there's no Beis Hamikdash, there's no Akrobus Karbanus Sibur? So the answer is, the Gemara says, when the Chasan starts saying the Bracha, it say Hashem Elkeinu, V'am Chizol of this Filosom, the Kohanim have to start walking towards the platform. And if a Kohen didn't start walking towards the platform before the Chasan finishes the Bracha, it say Hamachzeh Shechinosa Letzion, they change it, many shuls, they change it, Hosol of Atcha B'yir HaNavoit, then he shouldn't do it. If he wasn't Okaraglov, when the Chasan started Ritzeh, then he can't do it that day. What kind of a din is this? He'll be able to make it before it's time to duchen, even if he didn't start walking before the chazan finishes. So the Keren Ora on this daf explains that Ritzei Bam Chisol of this philosophy is a bakosha, that the tefillah should be accepted as if we brought a carbon. Rav Soloveitchik explained it more by Rishchis. He said that on the weekdays, the bracha right before Ritzei is Shema Kaleinu, Kabel Berachamim Uvaratzen Es Tfiloseinu. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our prayers. And you'd say, Ritzei Hashem Okeinu Ba'am Chisrael, but this philosophy, Hashem should accept our prayers. He just said that. It's Kabel Berachamim Uvaratzen Es Tfiloseinu. So he said the difference is, it's Kabel Berachamim Uvaratzen Hashem should accept our prayers. But the term Ritzui is a technical term that appears in Tanakh, Ruba de Ruba of the time, that's what the Baal HaTanya writes, Ruba de Ruba, most of the time it appears in connection with Hurtz or Loi Hurtz, in connection with Hakrobus Karbonus. The Korban is accepted, the Korban is kosher. So it would say, B'am Chisol of this philosophy is a prayer, Kadosh Baruch Hu should accept our prayers as if we had offered a Korban. Kabel Berachmim Verotzen Estril Seinu should accept our prayers. Ritzei means that the prayer should be accepted as if we have brought a korban. So there's a Tfilos HaYochid and a Tfilos HaTzibur. When the private people daven Tfilah Belachash, everybody davens quietly, that's Tfilos HaYochid. When the Chazan repeats the Chazoros HaShatz, he's davening the Chazoros HaShatz on behalf of the whole Tzibur. That's Tfilos HaRabim. And Shilti Gibarim, the end of Rosh Hashanah on the side of the Rif, points out that just like there's a Korban Yochid and a Korban Tzibur, so too there's a Tfilos HaYochid and a Tfilos HaTzibur. So when the Yochid says, Ritzei B'am Chisol of his Tfilosim, is considered as if his Tfilos HaYochid was converted into a Korban Yochid. And when the Chazan says, Ritzei B'am Chisol of his Tfilosim, we consider it as if the Tfilos HaTzibur is converted into a Korban Tzibur. So when the Chazan says, Ritzei, he has just succeeded in converting the Tfilos HaTzibur into a Korban Tzibur. So at the conclusion of Korban HaTzibur, Yiduchim. And this works Menatar. This works Menatar. That's what the Keren Ora writes, even though Tfilah, the Ramban is of the opinion. The Rambam counts Tfilah once a day, every day is a mitzvah Menatar. The Gemara says that Davin is only with the Rabbanon, so the Rambam says that means the particular Nusach HaTfilah is only the Rabbanon, and the fact that we daven three times a day, or four times a day, or five times a day on Yom Kippur, he's saying Musaf and Nila, that's only Midir Rabbanon. But the obligation to daven once a day, every day, according to the Rambam, that's Minatar. So the Ramban disagrees, he says, no, Tfilah B'chol Yom is only Midir Rabbanon, Ruba de Ruba, Tfilah be a sor, if there's a famine, if there's a flood, if there's a war, then the Torah says you have to daven, then it's a mitzvah. But unless there's a real big tefillah b'yesara, so then tefillah b'chol yom is only midirabban. So the Mishkan Esankev writes, the Keren Ora quotes his brother. Keren Ora was the younger brother of the Mishkan Esankev. They used to learn together, and when the Mishkan Esankev passed away, he took over the Rabbanus. He was in Karlin. That's where the Karlin HaChassidim lived, but he learned in Volozhin. He was from the early Talmidim of Rav Chaim Volozhin, so he's always attacking the Chassidim and his Jewish. He doesn't write openly, but he has true specifically against the practices that the Hasidim had. So the Keren Ora writes, my brother explained in his Chuvas in the Mishkan Yankev that even though the Ramban holds Tfilah B'chol Yom is only the Rabbanon, the obligation to daven is only the Rabbanon, but in order to duchen, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, the Kohanim are only obligated to duchen once a day, every day. The fact that the Duchen Shachris and Musaf in the Mishnah is the Duchen Shachris and Musaf, that's only the Rabban. Men HaTorah, they're not Mechayiv to Duchen. And after they read Duchen Shachris and Musaf in one minyan, then they go to a different minyan, they're not even Mechayiv to the Rabban, the Duchen the second time, and the other minyan. That's why there's a Machlokes. If a Kohen Duchens here in the neighborhood, a lot of times the Aguda didn't have any Kohanim davening there, so they would get one of the Kohanim and Broyas, so they're already Duchen by Shachris, and Broyas are Duchen, Shachris, and Musaf, so they're on Yontif. So they have one of the Kohanim who had already Duchen and Shachris would come daven Musaf in the Aguda, and he would Duchen there. So, to Duchen, Shachris, and Musaf, that's a Takana de Rabban, that's for sure you say, Brocha. But let's say they would get a Kohen who already Duchen, Musaf, and then he's just going to come to Duchen to do a favor to these people, to Duchen there, and he already davened Musaf. He's not davening Musaf now. So that's a machlekes in the Morgan Avram. Does it make sense that Shekudushan, Bikudushan, Shalom, and Tzivonu, the Bochas Amisol, I was not even Mechuyim Mede Rabbonim. The Gemara says, he said, Broche, on a mitzvah Mede Rabbonim. Here he's not even Mechuyim Mede Rabbonim. If you will Duchen, there will be a Kiyim, a mitzvah. Some of there is a Kiyim, a mitzvah, but there's no Chiyiv at all. So that's a machlekes in Achrayim. The Magen Avraham calls the Machlokes Achrayim. In Rishonim, the only one who discusses it is the Meiri. And the Meiri says that you do say a bracha. Because the Gemara says that yes, one of the Rabbanim, Bameharachta Yomim, how come he lived to such a ripe old age? The Gemara has it over here. So the Gemara says, because he was always careful to say the bracha before the Duchenim. What bracha did he say? Asher Gedeshan, B'Dushas V'Shalam, Tzvon HaVachaz HaMisol B'Yahavon. So the Rishonim ask a question. That's the din. What's Bameharachta Yamim? You deserve an Arichas Yamim just for following the din. That's what all the Kohanim have to say like that. So why did he deserve an Arichas Yamim? Because he followed the din. He said the Brichas HaMitzvah before he Duchen. So the Meiri Megillah suggests. Here's the Gemara. Shavlos Rabbi Elazar, as Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. That's in the middle of Lamed Tesem and Aleph, and the Meiri is there in Megillah. Could be that the Meiri in Sota also. I didn't look it up, but I know the Meiri in Megillah has it. Why did he deserve Arichas Yom? Because said a bracha, isn't that the din? So he says, no, he used to do like that. He already duchened in the first minyan. And then he stayed to duchen again a second time in the second minyan, and he would still say a bracha. So that was a chiddush. So the Meiri assumes it's a double pasha, that it's permissible to recite a bracha.
Isn't there a kiyum?
There would be a kiyum, yeah. Right, so if a woman shakes a lulav, a woman sits in a sukkah, we assume the woman can recite a bracha because even though she has no obligation, but she has a kiyum ha-mitzvah, but at least she has a kiyum ha-mitzvah that if a man would have done it, there would have been a chiyuv. A man would have said a bracha for sure. Here, the kohen is doing something that no one is b'chayiv to duchen a second time. So that's why it's a debate. That's why the Magen Avraham quotes the Machlokes Achrayim. The common practice is that yes, that you do say bracha, because that's what the Meiri says. The Netziv over there has a different answer. Why does he deserve an Arichas Yamim? Isn't that what the Din requires? So the Netziv has this whole fantastic Mahalach, and he quotes the Rabbeinu Yonah on the opening Mishnah in Brachas, that whenever a mitzvah is fulfilled in the form of a bracha, or within the framework of bracha, so then the Chachamim never instituted a Birchas HaMitzvah in connection. Let's say a person says, Sha'akal Ni'ibidvara over a cup of coffee. So he's fulfilling a mitzvah mid Rabbanon that he's reciting a Birchas HaNenin. A person is going to eat bread, he's going to recite Birchas HaMazon. A person is going to say Kiddush on Shabbos. So he doesn't recite a Birchas HaMitzvah before saying Sha'akal Ni'ibidvara over the cup of coffee. He doesn't say Birchas HaMitzvah before he recites Birchas HaMazon, and he doesn't say Birchas HaMitzvah before he recites Kiddush. Why? So the Nesivus explains in his Haggadah, the Maisa Nisim Haggadah, because the mitzvah is being fulfilled in the form of a bracha. Whenever the mitzvah is fulfilled in the form of a bracha, then the Chachamim didn't feel it necessary to introduce another bracha, another Birchas HaMitzvah. So then the Nesiv thinks, so Adinami, if the mitzvah is fulfilled within the framework, a bracha is the Chachamim when Misak and the Duchen should take place in the middle of Chazoras Hashatz. So that's within the framework of brachas. And Mikra Din, no bracha is required at all. And this was Amidas Chasidus on the part of Rav Loza ben Shamua, that he said a bracha before, when the Kohanim are makriv, when they do Kabbalah Saddam, Hailocha Saddam, Zrika Saddam, they do when they eat truma, they say Kedushan Abik Dushasa Shalaran, Tzivana Alachidas truma. When they do that, but when they duchen, duchening is always done in the framework of the Hazaras Hashat. So Mikra didn't know bracha is required at all. It's a Midas Chasidus to say a bracha before. What do you mean Midas Chasidus? Shouldn't it be a bracha l'matola? If the din doesn't require that a bracha should be recited, it should be a bracha shein tzvicha. So that's what the Nesiv talks about. So he says, no, it's not proper to give a bracha to a boss of Adam without first giving a blessing to a Kodesh Baruch. So since they're going to say Yibarecha Hashem Yishmarecha, so they should be makdim a bracha to a Kodesh Baruch. So that's why this Rav Loza ben Shamua, he volunteered this bracha. That's interesting. The whole pshat is an interesting pshat. That's why the meaning is that on Erev Yom Kippur, it says when the parents give a bracha to their children, they should first say a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they should say a pasuk, Baruch Hashem Le'olam, Amen, Amen, or something like that. They should say some bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before they start giving a bracha to the children. For those who give a bracha every Friday night to the children, so before they give the bracha, they should really say some pasuk or another that has a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Netziv quotes over here. They quote from the Zohar like that.
You see that from the Lachaim, the Rebbe says, you should first make the bracha, and then
have a sip, and then you say l'chaim the bracha to the boss of Adam. Right, right. That's based on the Gemara, and the Dorim has like that. Malkut Tzedek Melech Shalom Hotzi Lechem Le'Yayin. So he was punished. He was supposed to be the Kohen. He was a Kohen. He was supposed to have the Kuna go on to his children. So he lost out because he first gave the bracha to the boss of Adam, to Avram Levin. Then he said the bracha to Avram Levin. So the question is, if you plan to say both, then you should say first the bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What if you only plan to say a bracha to the boss of Adam? So maybe there's no need to say a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu first. So that's what they quote. The Zohar says, no, whenever you want to give a bracha to a boss of Adam, Yosha dictates you should first give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So getting back again. So the Rabbi Yankiv Emden had this chiddush that the Mishnah Berurah quotes, the duchening is only minat Torah in the Beis HaMikdash in connection with HaKrobos Karbanos Tzibur. That's what it says in the Gemara. So the Mishnah Berurah proves that he's wrong. How can it be wrong? But the Gemara says only at the conclusion of HaKrobos Karbanos Tzibur. So that's what the Kevin Ura says. When the Chazan repeats the Chazaras HaShatz, and he says, Ritzei, so the Tfilos HaTzibur is converted into a Korban Tzibur. So at the conclusion of HaKrobos Karbanos Tzibur, then you have the Duchening. And that's considered HaKrobos Karbanos Tzibur on the level of the rest. So that's the piyut that we say. What's the piyut when we duchen? We say, Serv Allah Hasir Aseinu Ka'olach HaKorban. Our prayer should be pleasant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if we brought Karbanos. That's exactly the meaning of the phrase. Ritzei Hashem Lekam Amchiz Olav Esfilosim. Ritzei is a technical term that means Ritze, that means accepted like a Karban. So the piyut is just spelling out the kavana of the tefillah of the first line. Ritzei. So that's what the Gemara says. The kohen has to be okaraglov when you start saying Ritzei. Question: the okaraglov. Let's say the place where they wash their hands is in the back of the shul, and the duchen is in the front of the shul, in front of the chazan. So what if the kohanim? I remember once on Yom Kippur, there was a kohen came to Maimonides school. He didn't show up in shul all year long. They walked in on Yom Kippur, and he was a young fella. They were convincing him in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz he should duchen. So by the time they finally convinced him, the Chazan had already, he was in the middle of Ritzei. So the Kohen started walking to the back of the shul to wash until he said that. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, that's good enough. So the Mishnah Berurah passed, and it's not so. Mishnah Berurah quotes a Prima Godim, that if he starts walking to the back of the shul in order to wash his hands, in order to go back to the front, that's not called Okara. Okara has to be, he has to start walking towards the platform. Here he was walking away from the platform. But it's questionable. Well, why did the Prima Godim say like that? There's taina that the Mishnah Berurah shouldn't have quoted that Prima Godim. It's not so glatt, not so poshut that it's so. The Gemara here says when the Kohanim duchen, they have to duchen in a standing position. If the Kohen is unable to stand, say he shouldn't duchen. How do they know? So the Gemara says on Lamed Ches and Aleph that there's a hekesh between the Shorso and Levorach Bishma Kodesh Baruch. It shows the Kohanim that they should do Hakrobas HaKarbonis and the Beis Hamikdash, and they should duchen or Levorach Bishma and bless the people. So just like Sheirus has to be Bamida, just like Hakrobas HaKarbonis and the Beis Hamikdash has to be in a standing position. There's a din, no one's allowed to sit in the Azar. And Yeshiva Bazar, a little Malchut based David, but no one's allowed to sit in the Azar. But if you sit, the world doesn't come to an end. That's a machloik, is 2 days in Rashi. That din, and Yeshiva Bazar, is that a halach of Moshe Messina, or is that a din der Rabban? That's a question. So there is a din, no one's allowed to sit. But here the din is that if the Kohen does the Avodah, he does Kabbalah Saddam, Halachas Saddam, Zrikas Saddam, he does some Avodah in a sitting position, the Avodah is Pasul. Because the Pasuk says, Ki bom baruch Hashem lamod l'sharis, so the HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose them la'amod l'sharis, to stand. So the Gemara says he learned from that pasuk that sherus hakrobas hakabana has to be in a standing position. Even if you hold that the din of en yeshiva bazor elul malchut beis david levad is only a din de rabbanon, but the kohanim when they're makrib the karbanos and beis hamikdash, that for sure that has to be in a standing position. So it says ki bom baruch Hashem lamod l'sharis, have to stand. So just like Sheiris has to be, just like Hakrovus Hakabanus has to be in a standing position, so too the Duchening has to be in a standing position, because the hookers to each other. So here Rabbi Kivege has a murderous kasha on the side of the Gemara. He asks, what did the Gemara say that there's a hekesh between Duchening and Sheiris and Hakrovus Hakabanus? Then there's another pasuk that says that the Kohanim have to stand when the Makor of Karbanus. That pasuk lamed l'sharis al levarach bishma says over there also bracha. It says beferus. Why do you have to make a hekesh between duchening in hakrovus hakarbanis and say there's a pasuk that says hakrovus hakarbanis has to be ba'amida ve'ikuva? So therefore, since there's a hekesh, it carries over to duchening. No, the same pasuk says lamed l'sharis al levarach bishma. It says lamed amida. It says it by the duchening also. So that's Rabbi Kivege's kash. Why do you need a hekesh? It's mamish, the exact same pasuk. So the Nesif in the Mirai Mesari thinks that it must be a misprint in the Gemara. He says there's no way to answer this kasha. He says they meant to quote that pasuk. They didn't mean to say that it's a hekesh. And others give some kind of teretz. I already forgot. But that's Rabbi Kivege's kash. That's a strong kasha. Yeah, so one of the differences between Duchening and the Beis HaMikdash and Duchening Bigvulin is that Bigvulin, it's three different psukim. Birach Hashem Yishmerach, everybody says Amen. Birach Hashem Paravelech V'chunek, everybody says Amen. In Beis HaMikdash, you don't answer Amen. Even in the middle of Chazar HaShashat, you don't say Amen. So they said, the Kohanim said all the three psukim, and there was no hapsok in between. So the Medina Oyma Oysa Sholosh Brocha Salamegdash Brocha Achas. That's the bottom line on Lamed Zayin on the base. And the base on Migdash, it didn't answer Amen, so everything was together. It's interesting, I remember seeing in the name of Rav Herzog, that Rashi in his commentary Achumish says, on, I think on Parsha Shmini, either Tzaba Shmini, that V'yis Aaron Yisrael Balaam, here, Vayikra chapter 10, the Gemara quotes it over here. So Rashi says, Yivarechecha Yoyer Yiso. Rashi and Chumash writes, and Vayikra, chapter 10, Rashi writes, Yivarecha Yoyer Yiso. So Rav Herzog gets the Kasha, but it was a Migdosh. So Migdosh, it's pronounced as if it's one bracha. There is no hafsok in between. So why did Rashi say, Yivarechecha Yoyer Yiso? In Migdosh, everything is one bracha. From Rashi, it sounds like it's three different brachas. So Rav Herzog suggested that the Shechina wasn't sure yet. The Shechina wasn't chal in the Mishkan until after all the avodah was done. So it had a din like Big Vulin. At the beginning, the Migdash itself had a din like Big Vulin. That's an interesting suggestion. Nahamal. So what did Gemara learn that from a pasuk that you need Amida by the Duchening? The pasuk only says that the Kohanim have to be Bamida. Who says that the Tzibur have to be Bamida? Maybe the Tzibur can sit. So on Shulchan Aruch, the assumption is, the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch say, that since you need Duchening should be Panim Keneged Panim, they should be facing each other. So if the Kohanim are going to be standing and the Tzibur is going to be in a sitting position, that's a lack of Panim Keneged Panim. So that's why we require that the tzibah should stand as well. Yeah. Why do you need Amida? It's interesting. Why do you need Amida? We learned that from a pasuk. So someone quoted in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. I never heard this. I wasn't there. He said, Rav Soloveitchik thought the Ikar Din Amida is really in the Beis HaMikdash, because the Kohanim would duchen, they would say the Shem HaMeferosh. Exactly what is the correct pronunciation of the Shem HaMeferosh, Yudke Vavke? So the Tosis Yontav HaMasechas Yuma has three different opinions. How did the Kohen Gadol pronounce the Shem HaMeferosh on Yom Kippur? The Gemara says, Chomokam Mishar Asker Shmi, Ovei Lecha Ve'erach Tichon. So what it means is, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Masher Shechinasai, there he gives us permission to be Masker Shmi. He gives us permission to pronounce the Shem HaMeferosh in the Beis HaMikdash only. Chutz LeBeis HaMikdash, you're not supposed to pronounce the Shem HaMeferosh. So, but in the Beis HaMikdash, not only on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, the Kohanim and they duchen every day. Those who knew it would say the Shem HaMeferosh. What do you mean, those who knew it? The Gemara says in Kiddushin, those who knew it, those who didn't know it, how could they not know it? They're listening to the, they're all duchening together. How could they not know the correct pronunciation of the Shem HaMeferosh? So the Gemara says that Zeshmi Leolam is written without a vav. So you read it as if La'alim, Zeshmi La'olam, La'alim, that whoever knows the Shem HaMeferosh should try to be ma'alim it. How can he be ma'alim it? So the Gemara says there in Kiddushin, Afayin, that they used to have people would sing a nigun when the Kohanim would, and Beis HaMikdash would say the duchening, so to keep it a secret from the others what the correct pronunciation is. You're only supposed to transmit the correct pronunciation to another Kohen who is worthy of knowing the correct pronunciation. So that not everybody knew it. Aye, but the duchening has to be b'kol rom. So if everybody's, if they're singing a nigun, they drown out. Someone's playing a piano or something, a guitar. They drown out, so you don't hear the duchening. I don't know. How are you yotze? I don't understand. But that's what it says in the Gemara. That every day of the year when they duchen, Tosis said they duchen after Hakrovas Shachar, Tomet Shel Shachar, after Musafim, and after Tom Shel Ben Abayim, after Korban Yochid not, only after Korban Tzibur. That's how the Gemara says, at the conclusion of Hakrovas Kabban Tzibur. So Tosis says after Tom Shel Shachar, after Musafim, and after the Tom Shel Ben Abayim. That's the last line in the Tosis Uchsiv, Amamet Chesam and Aleph, that they duchen three times a day. So then Beis HaMikdash only, they would say the Shem HaMeferosh. So let's say the Kohanim would eat the Chatos in the Oshem and the Beis HaMikdash, have to eat it in the Azor. They said, Shehakol Nebet Vora, then they said, Shekh Rishon, Bikdashol Shechel Aron, Vitzivon Al Achilos Besar HaChatos. So when they said the Shehakol, also they said, they also said the Shem HaMeferosh. They also said the Shem HaMeferosh. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik thought that not. He said, Shehakol, that has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't have to be in there. Happens you have to eat the Chatos and the Oshem and the Azara. What about the Bracha Shekhidushan, Bigdushos, Shalayim, and Tzivon, Alachidas, Pesach, Chatos? Well, that's your Kohen is going to do Kabbalah, Hailoch, Hazrika. He's going to do one of the Avodas that needs a Kohen. Shchita is Ksher Bizar. So they just said, Al Shchita, Ashikshan, Tasson, Lishchatas, Azerach. They wouldn't say Gdushan, Bigdushos, Shalayim, because you don't need a Kohen. But in Kabbalah Saddam, Elohim Saddam, Zvika Saddam, all the other Avodis, they said, Yishan Bikdashos Shalar. So when they said those, they said the Shem HaMeferosh, because it's a bracha that you only say in the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know. The Kohen Gadol, it wasn't only on Yom Kippur, every day of the year when they duchen. Duchening is in connection with Hakrobas Kabbalah Sibur. So it's a Kiyam in Mikdash. Shakal Nebedvara is not a Kiyam in Mikdash, but Achilos Chatos is a Kiyam HaMikdash, and maybe they said the Shem HaMeferosh then also. What does it mean, B'gvunat, you don't say the Shem HaMeferosh? So Tosis quotes the Pirush HaBeinu Hillel on the Sifrei, it was printed. Tosis on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph quotes the Pirush HaBeinu Hillel. When the Kohanim say, Yivrecha Hashem Yishmarecha, so in the Beis HaMikdash you pronounce Yudkei Vavkei the way you're supposed to, whatever that means. There are three different opinions in the Tosis Yandav and Yuma. And Bigvulan, they don't say Yudkei Vavkei the correct. So what do they say instead? So he says they can say any one of the Zayin Shein and Shein and Mechokim. They can say Yivarecha Chalakim Yishmerecha, Yivarecha Chakel Yivarechecha Shin Dalad Yud Yishmerecha. Wow. Yivarechecha Elokab Yishmerecha. So Tosis says that's wild. Tosis thinks that you have to say Alad Dalad Nun Yud. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk. The Gemara interprets the Pasuk. Zeshmi Le'olam Zezechri Le'dor Dor. Zeshmi La'alim Deshem Yud Kevavki. You should try to be Ma'alim. But Zezechri Le'okeshem Shani Nichtav Ani Nikra. The correct way to pronounce Yud Kevavki is by pronouncing Alad Dalad Nun Yud. So how can the Rabbeinu Hillel say that? You say a different name. But that's what the Rabbeinu Hillel got it. Sometimes we say like that. If you have two shemes, one next to the other, so we say on one, Alav Dalad Nun Yud, then on the other one we say Elokim. We don't say Alav Dalad Nun Yud, Alav Dalad Nun Yud, one after the other. We say Alav Dalad Nun Yud, Elokim. So you see that that's if the second one is Yud Kei Vav Kei. If the first one is Yud Kei Vav Kei, and the second one is Alav Dalad Nun Yud, so you say Elokim Hashem. Elokim, Alav Dalad Nun Yud. Because somehow we assume it doesn't make sense to say Alav Dalad Nun Yud, Alav Dalad Nun Yud, one next to the other. So the one that's written, Yud Kei Vav Kei, so you say you substitute a different name of Hashem. So sometimes, usually it's Alav Dalad Nun Yud, and sometimes it's Elokim. Sometimes
when
you say...
When we say Hashem Hashem, when we say the 13, mm-hmm. but there we say one line after another.
Right, we're pausing in between. There's supposed to be a major pause in between. The Gemara says, Hashem Koyim Sheyechta, Hashem Lacha Sheyechta. It's supposed to be a comma in between. When you say Hashem Elokim, Atachilosa Laharas Zavdecha, you say them together. So then it doesn't make sense to say Alav Dalad Nun Yud twice. But if you have a comma in between, supposed to be a comma in between, that these are different shemes of Hashem. It's not it doesn't go together. So that's what the Rabbin Hillel part of what he said we do. That is our practice. Instead of saying Yud Kei Vav Kei, sometimes we do say Elokim, but we only substitute Elokim when you can't say Alav Dalad Nun Yud, because right next to it is Alav Dalad Nun Yud. Then you say Elokim. Hashem Elokim. The Gemara raises the question, how do you know that even the Gerim are included in the Brachas? How do you know women are included? How do you know Gerim are included? What's the question, Gerim and women here, the third wide line? Towards the bottom of Lamed Ches Amid Aleph. Any other B'nai Yisrael, Gerim, Nashma, Avonim, Shukram, Inan, Tamil, Amar, Lohem, Lekulahu, to everybody. Why? Because every so often the Gemara has a drasha. When you learn Yeridah on the first page in Yeridah, page Aleph Amid Aleph, the Shach discusses this in the Kudus HaKesef, the first Nekudus HaKesef on the Yeridah. That sometimes says, Dabel B'nai Yisrael, Ve'amat Aleim. So sometimes B'nai Yisrael means Velo B'nos Yisrael, like the opening Pasuk in Chumash Vayikra. Tabel b'nei Yisrael lo b'nos Yisrael, that the mitzvah of smicha, to lean on the carbon, only applies to men, doesn't apply to women. And sometimes the Gemara will say, Tabel b'nei Yisrael lo gerim. The gerim are excluded. So the Shach raises the question, how do you know when to be memait noshim, when to be memait gerim? So he says that Tanaim had a feel for it. They had to know, how do you darshan the psukim? You have to darshan the psukim based on the context. There is a machlokes ha-Tanaim regarding the din of Saita, if a woman is married to a ger, whether the mitzvah of the whole story of the Saita is a miracle, that if she's guilty of a violation of Lysinov, then she's going to die Mesim Mishun, even though there is no poison in the Maim HaMarim. And if she's innocent, then even if she didn't have any children before, a miracle is promised that she will have children later. Chosav and Iksav and Nizra Zor, a miracle is promised. So the miracle, maybe it was only promised by Yisraelim. It says that Bel Bnei Yisrael. So that's a machlekes hatana, whether mashkim is a geiris. If a girl is married to a ger, it doesn't matter whether she's a geiris, marries who her husband is. Maybe since it says that Bel Bnei Yisrael, but lo gerim, the miracle was never promised if they're gerim. And sometimes Bnei Yisrael means lemutei noshim. So that's what the Gemara says. Kos rochas Bnei Yisrael, amol lehem yirecha Hashem yishmerecha. Maybe Bnei Yisrael means Lemutei Noshim or Lemutei Gerim or Lemutei Avarim Shecharim. It's also Gerim. Tamalama, no, Molahem Lekulu. Everybody is included. Here you're not Memait anybody from Bnei Yisrael. Everyone is included. But that would have been the Havamina. We would have thought that the Gerim or the Noshim would not be included. The Gemara learns out from a Pasuk on Lamed Tes and Aleph that the Kohanim have to wash Netilas Yadayim before they go to Duchen. So Yudechen Kodesh, Baruch Hu Es Hashem. First they should wash the hands and then they should say the Baruch. So Tosfos there has a machlokes. Can you rely on the Netilas Yadayim that you did in the morning? Person woke up in the morning, washed until time, goes to shul. And he didn't go to the bathroom, he didn't touch his shoes. Is that good enough? Or do you need tekef l'netilas adayim b'chus kohanim? So that's two opinions in Tosfos. So our minig is that the kohanim go to wash the hands right before the duchen, but they don't recite a bracha, because maybe it's not necessary to wash again. They already said the bracha in the morning. But what happens, let's say, they're going to duchen and musaf. Musaf is going to be doomsday. They don't get to daven musaf till... 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Yom Kippur, it's late. And by the time it's time to duchen and musaf, it's already 2 hours later. Time to duchen and musaf, it's already 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Kohen already went to the bathroom, so that until the time that he did in the morning is no longer valid. So for sure he has to wash again. So when he washes his hands, would he have to recite the bracha? We don't recite a bracha when we wash our hands, when the kohanim wash their hands before duchenin, because maybe it's not necessary. Maybe mikra din, you don't need tekef l'netilas yadayim bracha. Here, Tosfos quotes Pirush Rashi, Amali Rebbe. Rashi quotes the name of his Rebbe. If you wash your hands in the morning, you can rely on that. There's no need to wash again. And Tosfos is not so happy about that. So we insist the kohanim should wash their hands again, but they don't say a bracha because of the machlokes. What if you're sure they have to wash their hands? They went to the bathroom, they're going to duchen at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Of course they went to the bathroom, since they woke up at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning. So then you should have to say a bracha. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes Achranim and say, maybe the Chachamim whenever misaken a birchas mitzvah for washing your hands before duchening. Maybe the only one misaken a bracha on the Tilas Yadayim for washing your hands before eating bread, or before a kohen is interested in eating truma, or before davening in the morning. But maybe they were never misakan abrochem. It's a difficult suggestion, maybe. But that's the common minig. The kohanim wash their hands for duchening and musaf. Even though for sure they have to wash their hands again. There's no shita to rely on that not. And then nonetheless they don't say abrochem.
Do we know they washed their hands when they came out of the bedroom?
They wash their hands usually, but not with a cup. Here it's a real din with a natla. On the Tilas Yadayim with a natla, with a cup. So when they come out of the bathroom, usually they don't wash with a cup. Years ago in Europe, they didn't have faucets. They didn't have running water, so they had always washed with a cup. So they had a big barrel of water, and they would stick in a cup. They weren't going to pour the water up. They're going to use too much water up. So they used to use a cup, dip it in, and then use the minimum amount of water. But today, they're on the faucets, and no one uses a cup anymore. But whenever you need a real din, netilas yadayim, so the Rishonim say the word natla in Aramaic means a cup. That's the kli. So he ain't needed till the sedayim with a cup. The Mishnah Megillah says that you need asara, you need 10 people for duchening. So the Ran on the Rif in Megillah points out that some of the things in the Mishnah, you need 10 people to learn Kriya Sater, to say Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu. That's a Dovah Shebikdusha. So to recite a Dovah Shebikdusha, you need Asar. Then some of the other things, they're Duchening. The Gemara doesn't say Duchening is a Dovah Shebikdusha. You need 10. You need 10 people. Why is that? It's learned out from a Pesach. So someone said the name of Rav Soloveitchik that the Iker Adin that you need 10 was in Migdosh, because you mentioned the Shem Amferash. So maybe then you treat it like a Dovah Shebikdusha, because mentioning the Shem Amferash. And only Agav, the Beis HaMigdosh, they instituted midrabbanon that you should require asara even big woman, even though you're not saying the Shema Farish. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know if Rabbi Soloveitchik said it. That's what one of the Talmidim said over in his name. Interesting. Then we already discussed this. Kosevach has been Israel Amor Lohem. What does it mean, Amor Lohem? The Poshep Shat is Amor Lohem. The Kohanim should recite the following psukim, Yirech Hashem Yishmerecha. Yeah. But the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Amar Lahem, the Tzibur should ask of the Kohanim, Amar Lahem Pshutu Shal Mikra means the Kohanim should tell the Tzibur colon, Yirech Hashem Yishmerecha. And the additional level of interpretation translates the pasuk the opposite. Amar lahem, when the tzibur, that's what the Targum Onkel is at on the word katem alahon. When the tzibur, if and when the tzibur will request of the Kohanim that they should duchen, then they should say Yirech Hashem v'yishmerechem. So since it says Amar lahem, and lahem is in the plural, and that goes on the Kohanim according to this additional level of interpretation, so that's what Abai says, Naktina, on two lines from the bottom of Lamed Chesam and Alam. Naktina means we have an old tradition. If there are two or more Kohanim, then the Chazan screams out, Kohanim, we want you to give a bracha. Le'echot, any kari kohen. But if there's only one kohen there to duchen, so there are two opinions, Tosis, the bottom Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi. There's one opinion, there's only one kohen duchen, and you scream out, Kohen. The other opinion is, no, you scream out, Kohanim. There are only one kohen, but you say kohanim in general. You want the kohanim, here happens only to be one kohen, we should duchen. So Abai, the Babli, doesn't quote either of those opinions, that you scream out kohen or you scream out kohanim. The Babli quotes Abai, and the Gemara says on the top of Amud Beis, Hilchusa Kavasid da Abai. We pass like that. Abai says it's only one kohen, you don't call that kohanim. Why? So the Tosis of Menoche says, in the name of Rabbi Natam, obviously duchening is only deraisa if you have a minimum of two kohanim who are going to duchen. If you only have one kohen, so the whole duchening is only midrabban. Where do you get it from? Because it says, Amor lahem, katem lahom, when the tzibur requests of the two kohanim, in the plural, Amor lahem, katem lahom, when the tzibur requests of the kohanim, they should give a bracha, then the mukhayif to give the bracha. That's why the Ashkenazim, all year long, we don't ask the kohanim for a bracha, so they're not mukhayif to give the bracha, so they're not in violation of the bitla mitzvah. The Gemara says that the kohen doesn't duchen, he's over on all these mitzvah sesek. Kosevorcho, amor lahem, isomor shmi. Three mitzvah sesek. So the pashup shat, amor lahem, the kohanim should say to the tzibur. And that's one of the three essen that the kohen is mevatel if he doesn't duchen. But that's only if the tzibur requests it of him. If the tzibur doesn't request it, so he's not mechuyev to duchen.
Sometimes in Israel, I've noticed that when you're davening there, it's not the Shlich Tzibur who yells or says out Kohanim, it's somebody else.
Right.
That I guess this is a minhag, or there's...
We learned that Tosis in the middle of Brachas had that it's not right, it's a hepsik for the Chazan in the middle of the Shemona Esrei to say, Kohanim, please give us a bracha. That's considered a hepsik. So the Ramah quotes from the Tosis, but the Ramah writes what our minig is. If the Chazan says, says the whole paragraph, and then he says, Kohanim Amkar Eshecha Kamur, and then he says, Kohanim out loud, since he's saying the word Kohanim at the end of a long paragraph, that paragraph always does blend into the Shemoneh Esrei. So he can, it's not a hepsik if the Chazan says. And right, so the Chazan doesn't say, Elkein Kevesenim. They want to save time because they duchen every day. They have to run to work. So they have someone else, the Gabbai, the Sham, someone screams out Kohanim. But in Chutz Lorot, the practice is like the Ramah, that the Chazan says the whole thing. But the Ramah says, Chazan can say the whole thing softly and only say that one word out loud, Kohanim. Rabbi Soloveitchik took issue with that. He thought that whatever the Chazan says softly doesn't count. Chazaras HaShatz, you have to say everything out loud. Whatever he doesn't say out loud, you don't have 10 people listening. So that's not part of the Chazar Sasha. So he thought that if the practice is like the Ramah, that the Chazan says, and so on, he should say the whole thing out loud. He shouldn't say it softly. We mentioned that there are those who taina that in the Targum Onkelos on that Pasuk, it says, Kad temur lahon, when the tzibur will request of the Kohanim, that's the Torah Shebaal Peh's interpretation. Additional level of interpretation on the Pasuk, Pshuto Shel Mikra, is Amor Lahem, the Kohanim should say to the tzibur, not Katem Elohon, when we request of them. So that's what some Achranim say, that's a misprint. It happens to be Pasuk Chav Gimel, and the next Pasuk is Pasuk Chav Dalet. So they quote from Rab Zalman Levaloshina, the younger brother, Rab Chaim Valoshina, that he said that the letters, Chav Dalet, the typesetter put it in the wrong place. It was really the beginning of the next pasuk, says Chav Dalet. So by mistake, they printed Chav Dalet in the middle of here, Kad Temer Lahom. But the word Kad doesn't belong. The Targum Onkel is supposed to always give Kipfi Chutosh on Mikra. He's supposed to give Pashup Shad. Not supposed to give the additional levels of interpretation of the Torah Shebaal Peh. This Pshat that Abai says, Amar Lohem, that you need the tzivur, you have the tzivur, that's a Torah Shabbat Pedrosh. That's not at all pshuta shal mikra.
The simple explanation of the Gemara is that Duchni is like Avoda, that's the limud, and Avoda needs to be Ba'amida. Are there other halachas that Duchni is similar to Avoda?
Yeah, the Gemara says that Kohen Shoshasa Revius is not allowed to duchen because it's similar to Avoda. But the Gemara says if it's similar, that a shikr is not allowed to duchen, then you say a Bal Mum shouldn't be allowed to duchen either. That's against the din. A Bal Mum is allowed to duchen with the Rabbanan. The Mishnah says a Bal Mum, Mishesh La Mum, Bepanag Yad Baraglav, is not allowed to duchen because they may draw attention to his hands. And you're not allowed to stare at the Kohanim's hands when they're duchening. So we don't allow a person to duchen like that. Then in the 1500s, in the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, who lived in Eretz Yisrael at that time, they developed a minhag that we have today, that the Kohanim cover their hands at the time that they duchen, so no one can see their hands anyway. So Rabbi Yosef Karo, in his commentary on the Rambam and the Kesef Mishnah, he writes, he's not sure what the din is now, that the Kohanim cover their hands, so the whole reason for the Gzera Derabbanan doesn't apply. So maybe the whole Gzera doesn't apply, so maybe even a Kohen who has mumin, with part of Yad Varaglov, let's say he has a false leg, and they're going to stare at his leg. They're going to see he doesn't have a leg. He has a piece of wood over there, a piece of plastic or something. It's going to draw attention. So the Shulchan Aruch paskens that the whole Mishnah doesn't apply bizman hazeh. Mishesh lemum impani adavarakul. Mishnah Berurah writes, Mishnah Berurah lived in Poland. So he says in Poland the meaning was that they covered their face and the hands were exposed. They didn't cover their hands. He says, but in Lithuania, where they cover their hands, then the Shulchan Aruch has that minig. That was the minig in the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo. They caught him, covered their hands. And in Poland, today, you have still some Europeans when they duchen, so they just cover their face and their hands are exposed. But most of them have the minig, like Rabbi Yosef Karo records, that they cover all.
So why did the Rav have to give the beer about the Shema Mepharosh? They say it's like Avodah, but it has to be Ba'amidah.
Yeah, I think he was explaining why you need Asara. Yeah, Amida, you have to, the Gemara says you need Amida, but why do you need Asara? So he said, it's not a Dovah Shabbi Kedusha. The Ran said, it's not a kind of Duchening per se, it's not a Dovah Shabbi Kedusha. And nonetheless, you need Amida. So he thought, maybe you need Amida because you're saying the Shema Amforish. But then, Bigvulin, you don't say Shema Amforish, so you shouldn't need Asara. So someone told me over that he said, maybe it's only Midi Rabbanon. But the Ikedin that you need Asara was maybe only in the Beis HaMikdash. That's a suggestion. Rav Chisda had a Chiddush. Amor Lahem Pshuta Shal Mikra means the Kohanim should say Yivrach Hashem Yishmarech. The Torah Shabbal Peh, Darshan's Amor Lahem Kat Temer Lahon. When we request of them that they should duchen, then the Mukhiv to duchen. Calls Mom, we don't request, they're not Mukhiv to duchen. So Rav Chisda puts the two together. So he says, the Chazan, or the Shamas, or whoever's going to scream at Kohanim, he himself should be a Kohen. The Chazan should be a Davka, Naktinan, Kohen Kari Kohanim, any sort of Kari Kohanim. Why? Because Pshuta Shal Mikra, Amor Lahem means that the Kohanim should say, Yirach Hashem, Yishmarecha. So according to the additional level of interpretation, it means that we should, when we request of the Kohanim a bracha, they should say the duchening, so that request should be made by a kohen. So the Gemara says, we don't pass like Rav Chisda. But that's where Rav Chisda got it from. He puts together the pshuta shal mikra, Amor Lahem is the kohen, should say, and the drasha of the Torah Shema Peh, the katem rolahon. So dafke a kohen should say. Tosis quotes Yerushalmi, quotes Rav Chisda, says just the reverse. That's what we usually assume. Tosis quotes Yerushalmi, Amar Chafil, where is it again? The first line of Tosis. Omar Chizda, the Sof Shei HaChazan Yisrael. Davke, the Chazan should not be a Kohen. Chazan should not be a Kohen. We're mocked, but the Chazan should not be a Kohen for a different reason. Because the Gemara says on Amud Beis, Gemara on Amud Beis quotes the Mishnah from Brochas Daf Lamed Dalet, that if the Shliach Tzibur, if the Chazan is a Kohen, you shouldn't duchen, because in the days of the Tanoim, they would daven everything by heart. They weren't allowed to write down a siddur because the text of the tefillah was considered Torah Shabbal Peh. You're not allowed to write down Torah Shabbal Peh. It wasn't until the days of the Gaonim that they permitted the writing down of the siddur, and then a few generations later when they permitted the writing down of the machzah, First they allowed the writing down of the Mishnayos, and then years later the writing down of the Gemara. Little by little they allowed Tunzi. So it's all going to be forgot. So the... So the Mishnah says in Brochus, if the Shliach Tzibur is a Kohen, he shouldn't duchen because he's just going to get all confused. He's not going to remember what he's up to. And even if he's the only Kohen in Shul, he still shouldn't duchen. And then it says the next line, Im haftachas, if he's batuach, that he can duchen, he's not going to make a mistake. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. He has a siddur. Today everybody has a siddur. So he's not going to make a mistake. So then it says it's okay. Then Rashi, then we allow. So the Tosfos Yontif, and that Mishnah quotes a machlokes achrenim. If the chazan is positive, he's sure that he's not going to make a mistake, he's not going to get confused, then we do permit him to duchen. Is that only if he's the only kohen? In order not to miss out on duchening, then we allow. Or the rishonim and the achrenim aran. Rabbeinu Tam said it's only duchening deraisa if you have a minimum of two kohanim, because the Gemara says leechad in a kori kohen, lishnayim. Why? Because Amor Lahem in the plural, it's only Achiyim Duchening Deraisa if you have at least two Kohanim or more. So that's what if the Chazan is the one and only Kohen, or if there's only one Kohen, the Chazan is going to make it two Kohanim, so make it into Duchening Deraisa. Maybe that's the only time we allow the Chazan to Duchen. But if you have many Kohanim without him, you have two Kohanim without him, so maybe even though Haftar Chosoi that is Chosele Tvilosa, he's not going to make a mistake, maybe you should not Duchen. So that's why they recommend that on Yomim Tovim, our minig is the only duchen on Yontif. So Yontif is not right to have a chazan. Our minig is the only duchen by Musaf on Yontif. So it's not right to have a chazan duchen Musaf on Yontif. You're going to have duchening because you're going to get involved in this machlekes because you have anyway two kohanim without him duchening. So is it permissible for the kohen to duchen if he's not the one only kohen and he's not one of the two? In Eretz Yisrael, the common practice is that they do duchen. A kohen has yahrzeit, he davens farnamit. The kohen is an avelus and he davens farnamit, and he goes around and he duchens. They have another 10 people duchen.
Turns around.
Yeah. So the Gemara says, the Gemara said, kol kohen shelo karagla ba'avoy d'shuv en oyle v'duchen. They have to be karaglaim. So the Gemara asks over here, how can it be karagla? He's the shliach tzibur. The Gemara says, deny it purta. He moves a little bit, the Gemara says. The Gemara says, in order for the Shliach Tzibur to be able to duchen, Achanami, deny it purta. He walks a little bit towards the bima, towards the duchen where they're going to say the Nesias Kapan. Yeah, for years we had over here in Yeshiva, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we had Kohanim, Davin Musaf. We had Rabbi Nochum Sauer as a kohen. He used to be the Baal Tefillah, and then we had Rabbi Shimon Kerner as a kohen. So they always had a kohen. Shulchan Aruch says it's more correct that you should not have a kohen be the Baal Tefillah on a Yom Tov.
So they turn around also?
Yeah.
They move a little bit, and they also turn around?
They turn around, they walk up. They walk up, because they're davening over here, then they walk up to the top of the platform, then they walk down.
And then who calls out the words? Somebody else?
Somebody else, yeah. Yeah. The minig is that we say Yerechecha, Kohanim say Yerechecha Hashem, Kohanim say Hashem Shmerecha, Yishmerecha, they say word for word. So the two minhagim, whether you should call out Yerechecha the first word, is the saying word for word out loud. They shouldn't make a mistake. We should tell them what they're supposed to say. Shouldn't make a mistake. So the first word, they're not going to make a mistake. If they're singing a nigga in the middle, they may forget where they're holding. But on the first word, they're not going to forget. They didn't begin yet. How can they forget? Or they say, no, maybe saying Yibarach Hashem Yishmarecha word for word is part of Amor Lahem. Like we say, Kohanim, we instruct them, we want you to give us a bracha, so we say it like pulling teeth. Say Yibarachacha, say Hashem. Say the Yishmerech. So if you say like that reciting word for word that the Kohanim should answer, they should say, is not Shema Yitu, but rather that's part of Amar Lahan, that's the Tzivui. So if you say like that, then when you have a Yochid, when you only have one Kohen, and we paskal like Abai, when you have only Kohen Echot, so you don't say Kohanim, So Rav Soloveitchik said the minig in many places in Europe was, he said which countries, I forgot already. He said the minig in many, maybe he said Lithuania, I don't know, there was only one kohen, just like you don't say Yivarech, just like you don't say Kohanim, you don't say Yivarech Hashem Yishmerech, they say on their own. They don't say word for word. It's not Shema Yitu, it's rather part of the Tzivui. So that's what the Mishnah Brura writes. By duchening, it's on two different minhagim, whether you say the first word, Yivarechecha, whether the saying of the words is part of Amor Lohem, Akzeris HaKosov, Amor Lohem, so we have to tell him, say Yivarechecha, say Hashem, say Yishmerecha, then you do say the first word. Chazan says, even the first word, or you say, no, just Shema Yitu. But by blowing Shofar, Mishnah Brura, by blowing Shofar, when you say, Tikiyo, Shvarim Truam, what do you need? A tzivui? There's no pasuk Amar Lahem over there. So that's just Shema Yitu. The Bal Tekeh has to know, can he go weiter? What will we yotze? He may not realize. He didn't blow properly, so you have to blow over the tkiya. You don't have to blow over the tkiya. So you need a rabbi to tell him, but the first tkiya, what do you have to tell him? He knows, he starts with the tkiya. And then we have to tell him, should he go Shvarim Chua, or should he do over the tkiya? So starting from the second call, you have to tell. But the first one, there's no need. That's what the Mishnah Brura came up with. The first tkiya, you shouldn't say. And it's the biggest hepsik is when you say bracha, the Shema Kol Shofar, and then you talk before you even begin the tkiyas. Before you even begin to do the mitzvah, that's the real hepsik. So we're always mechaber the rabbi. The rabbi is supposed to be the one who's more medaktik in mitzvahs than everyone else. He's the shegetz. He's going to be the one to be mafsik. He's going to say tikiyam. So the Mishnah Brura recommends, if there's no clear-cut meaning, the rabbi should not be makri, the first tikiyo. So Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that just like by duchening, the common practice is that you do say the yirechecha. The Chazan said the first yirechecha, why? Because it's included in the minig, it's included in the din of Amar Lahem. We have to be mitzabah the Kohanim. So he thought that on Rosh Hashanah, when the rabbi, the makri, tells the Baal Tekeya, Tikiya, that's a tzivui. What do you need a tzivui for? By duchening it says, Amar Lahem, you need a tzivui. What need a tzivui there? So he quoted the Gemara, says, when Rosh Hashanah Choli is b'Shabbos. So the Gemara says, then you have to have a psak that bifnei bezin, in the presence of the bezin. Usually you don't blow shofar. Rosh Hashanah Choli is b'Shabbos. But in the Beis HaMikdash they did. Not so much Beis HaMikdash versus outside of Beis HaMikdash, in the presence of the bezin HaGadol, they do. So the Bezna Gadol with Paskin, you should blow Shofar. The Gemara says, Nidon, we should Paskin about it. So Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that the minig developed, that not only when Rosh Hashanah Choli is b'Shabbos, you have to have a Psak, even Rosh Hashanah Choli is b'Chol, and even not just a Psak, you should blow Shofar, you have a Psak, blow Shkia, blow Shvarim Trua, blow Shkia. That's how they say over, I don't know, I wasn't there, I don't know what that means. You need a psak on every kol that they should, that the Baal Tekeh should blow. The Nigmar quotes a psukim from Mishlei, that it's an avera to eat by a person who's a tzarayin. A tovayin is one who's generous. A tzarayin is one who's a cheap person. He really doesn't want to invite you, but he was embarrassed into, so he got stuck and he invited you. So if you realize that's the situation, the fellow doesn't really want to feed you, so you shouldn't eat by him. And the Gemara says you're in violation of two lavim, based on the two lavim in the psukim in Mishlei, not two lavim from the Chumash. Al tilcham, how does the pasuk say? Al tilcham es lechem ra'ayin, and al tisav lesudosai. I forgot already the pasuk in Mishlei. The Gemara says, right on two lavim. The Gemara has a shayla, what do you do? The basic message to Kula Kohanim. Everybody in the shul, everybody in the whole community, they were Kohanim. So usually you say a bracha, and you say it loud enough that the people in the shul should hear the bracha. There's nobody in the shul. Everybody's going to be standing up on the bima. So the Gemara has a contradiction. So one says, Beisaktash kulakanim, kulam adam leduchen. Everybody stands up. So to whom are they giving the bracha, the mima bracha? The Gemara says, Achem shebasodis. The bracha goes on all the people, all the farmers, all the people who weren't able to come to shul, the people who didn't show up in shul. The Gemara says, but the bracha is only chala on the people who are ponim keneged ponim. Am shachur yakanim ein mechlal bracha. The Gemara says, whoever is behind the kanim is not included in the bracha. The Gemara says, no, those people who are in shul, they don't bother to walk in front of the kanim, they're standing behind the kanim, they're not included in the bracha. But those who are am shabasadais, anusim, they live too far away, but they're not well, they're not up to it, they're not healthy enough to come to shul. So the bracha is chal on them. So again, so the Gemara says, if everybody in the shul, they're all kohanim, so one version has it, they all walk up to the bima, and they all say the duchening, but whom are they giving the bracha to? Giving the bracha to Achem Shabbosot. The other version was, Beisakdash Shekul HaKohanim, Miktasam Olim, U'miktasam Oinam Amen. Some of them should, not all the kohanim should go up to duchen. Some of the kohanim should stay down in the audience, in order that there should be people there to listen. It should look like a bracha. You give a bracha, panim keneged panim. How can you say you're giving a bracha to Achem Shabbosodis? They're not even in the same Beis HaMedrash, in the same Beis HaKnesses. So don't these two members contradict each other? Both are Amoraim. First one is Rav Ara, name of Reb Simeloi. The second one is Abraisa. Tani Rav Simi has Abraisa. So the Gemara says, there's no loikash. Hod ishtai be'asor, hod lo ishtai be'asor. If some of the kohanim started to walk up, and then those who didn't walk up realized that there's not going to be a minyan of 10 people listening to the brachas. So that if there's not going to be a minyan ben kavakos, so let everybody go up to say the duchening, and the duchening, the brachas chal, and achem shebasodis. But if half of the kohanim go up, and not all of them go up, so then let 10 people stay in the audience and not duchen, and those who walked up on the platform will duchen. If 10 people will remain in the shul listening to the brachas, leave it like that. So miktsos amein amolim. And if they already see the ben kovakot, they don't have 10 people listening. So let all the kohanim go up, and they'll give the bracha to the achem shebasodis.
Kohanim need brachas too.
Yes. Pasuk said, "V'samo yishmer Yisrael, v'ani avarchem." So the Gemara had two pshatim: "V'ani avarchem lekohanim, v'ani avarchem leYisrael." When they recite the bracha, so Torah says that they will be blessed as well. So then the Gemara has a shaila. You're supposed to face panim keneged panim. So let's say you have tall people standing in front of the shul and the short people behind them. So is that panim keneged panim? The kohanim are standing on a platform and they can't see the short people who are behind the tall people in the front. So the Gemara says that's okay. If you have, that's four lines from the bottom. Pshita, this we know for sure. Arichi bapi gutzi, the tall people standing in front of the short people. Loi mapsiki. That's not the hepsik. Rashi says, why? Because ein ledovasof, what are you going to do? Rashi writes, ein ledovasof, you have to have all the people have to sit in shul in, according to how tall they are. The shorter people are going to sit in the front. You got no choice. And what if you have the Yoron Kodesh in the middle? Also, the Gemara says it's not a hepsik. But the shaila is, what if part of the tzibur is in a different room? Let's say the women's section is in a different room, the women's section is upstairs. So the Gemara quotes the member, Rabbi Shul Malay, Bapil Mechitza Shal Barzal, and the Mapsek is Ben Yisrael Adiyam Shebashamayim. So Tosis finds this difficult, so famous Tosis, Bapil Mechitza Shal Barzal, this Tosis goes from Amad Deis, Amad Aleph. So they quote from the Gemara, some psochim from the Gemara in Erevin, that if you need a minyan of 10 people, the whole minyan have to be in one room. You can't have 5 people in one room, 5 people in another room. If you have 10 people in one room, then the people in the other room are also davening tefillah b'tzibur. Then they can answer, Yehesh Meirah, B'Kadosh Kedusha also. So over here also, for duchenging, you need 10 people in the same room. Once you have 10 people in the same room, then even the people who are behind the mechitza in a different room will also be covered with the bracha. Achem Shabbasadas are covered with the brachas also. But for the requirement, in order to be able to have duchening, you have to have 10 people. That's a Mishnah Megillah. You have to have 10 people in the same room. Otherwise, you can't begin to have the duchening. Okay?
So, well, we'll start, somebody turns around, it's like checking the bracha. If you turn around for the duchening, some people are okay. They're so worried about
looking at the Kohanim's hands, they turn around. That's against the din. It has to be panim keneged panim. Yeah.
But in the same room, let's say there's a post. That doesn't matter.
So that's not a problem. That's what the Gemara says. If you have some furniture, that's not a problem. Okay, we will stop here. Tomorrow morning, I think this will be the last year. Okay, tomorrow morning I got to go. I got to go somewhere early, so I won't be able to get a shiur. Good.
When is the next shiur going to be?
What do you say?
When is the next shiur going to be?
The next shiur will be Sunday night, August 25th, Shiur Pticha, on Gemara Bava Kama. That's what they told me. August 25th, I think, Sunday night.
Thank you so much.
Very good. Should all be healthy.
Yes. Good summer.
Oh, Maine.
Good summer, good trip.
Amen. Your son gave me a lot of literature to discuss on my trip. Yes. He did a lot of research for me. And I will certainly say over what he gave. Okay.
Sometimes I hold my children. Sometimes my children are facing the back. That's fun.
You have to have them facing
the front.
Yes.
You got to run the book there.